Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you're new to the show, please get to the website. A show you need to hear today, the title, Testing for Infections, Why You Are Wasting Your Time. Testing for Infections, Why You Are Wasting Your Time. Too many people thinking, intuiting, sensing they're suffering from some sort of a microbe. Virus, parasite, bacteria, prion, mycoplasmic infections, so on and so forth. And you can't find proof. And you go to the best infectious disease doctors that money can buy, and they can't find the bug. They can even see the proof of it. They can even see your torn and tattered and infected and pustered tissues. They can even see the gangrene. But they can't figure out what the cause is. And when they can see it, when you have an infection, when you've got a visible physical sign, at least then they're on the track. But what about when you've got fatigue? What about when your body just doesn't feel right? What about when you have joint pain? And you run through the myriad of tests that we utilize from the best hospitals in the world in a healthcare system that at least at one time delivered the best medicine on the planet. And they tell you there's nothing wrong with you. Most frustrating thing for people when the doctor says there's nothing wrong with you, and you know there's something wrong with you. You know something's eating away inside you. You can feel it, but they tell you there's nothing wrong. Well, if you study the history of disease and the history of infection and you really get into the guts of what infection's about, it would become very clear to you why you're being told this sad and depressing news that there's nothing wrong with you because the test's negative. And in short, to cut to the chase, tests don't tell the picture, which you already know, but I'm here to tell you why they don't tell the picture. When you get tested for whatever infection you might have, your doctors are going to run tests that are going to look for it in places it doesn't live. How's that for rocket science? When you're testing the blood, the infection may not be in the blood. When you're testing the urine, the infection may not be in the urine. When you're testing the cerebral spinal fluid, the infection may not be in the cerebral spinal fluid. Usually where we're looking at it is not where it lives. It may be hiding in the cell. It may be hiding in the spaces between the cells. It may be living in a biofilm. All these things we're going to get to today in greater detail. If you're new to the show, you may not have heard of these words like biofilm. If you've been following the show the last 3 years, it's the umpteenth millionth time I've used the word biofilm. So right off the bat, as common sense would dictate, but how often does common sense prevail when you're tired and afraid and sick and lonely? But as common sense would dictate, they're just looking places where the infection doesn't live. So you've got to understand that infections are intelligences. Infections are thinking organisms. They are not dumb little one cell, less than one cell, strands of nucleic acids, as in viruses, or less than that, as in prions. You have to understand that infections, what ails you is a thinking organism that has lived much longer than we have lived. And they think. And the more you throw at them, the more they throw back at you. And this is what the cutting edge of pharmaceutical medicine is dealing with today, much to its dismay and joy, much to your dismay, because they're not going to come up with drugs. I don't care how much genetic engineering we do over the next century, and we are certainly going to cross great frontiers, genetically speaking, with drugs, but we're not going to be able to keep up with a far superior intelligence. These things mutate faster than we change our conversations. And it doesn't matter. A parasite, a virus, a bacteria, a prion, you name it. It thinks fast, and it hides fast. So it's a peekaboo game. It's hide and seek. It's not some dumb animal just living in your blood, waving at the testers at Kaiser. It does not work that way. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is a show that gives you a different angle on your health, that asks you to think if you're a thinking man or woman. If you're not, give it a try anyway. You may be forced to think. You may be in a position with your health for the first time in your life where you've got to take responsibility for yourself, because nobody's going to think it out better than you. I just help and facilitate. The website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're driving, when you get home, get on the website. We teach with pictures, so you're online now. And we teach with pictures. Pictures say 1,000 words. So, issue one, you've got a bug. No one's isolated it. They're looking for it in the blood. They're looking for it in the urine. They're looking for it in the cerebral spinal fluid. What are they looking for? They're looking for the whole microbe, or its leg or arm or face. They're looking for a piece of its physical body, and they can't find it. The next thing they're going to do, or in conjunction with that, they're going to run antibody tests. Why antibody tests? Because once the immune system finds it, it's going to produce antibodies, and those antibodies can at least provide a clue. It's a clue. Everything's a clue. Nothing's definitive until you go in there with an electron microscope and the Hep C virus or the Lyme bacteria or some prion is waving at you and saying, "Hi, I'm here and I'm killing you." Outside of that, everything is a clue. So understand that when we do these antibody tests, IgGs, IgMs, IgMs for acute infection, IgGs for more chronic infection, the line between the two is sometimes very thin. When we do these tests, and I want to cut in now, be careful with your holistic practitioners doing antibody tests in these long, endless panels of thousands of different bugs, telling you on the basis of IgGs, meaning chronic infection indicators, that you in fact are infected presently. Be careful with that one. These IgG antibody tests that show that you were once exposed to hepatitis C, or you were at one time exposed to Giardia or amoeba, be careful with those. Because almost everybody is at one time or another exposed. What I want to do with this whole notion of you have a chronic infection, shift your perspective. That's worth the price of tea in China. If I can just shift your perspective, first point, they don't find it because it's hiding where they ain't looking. Or you don't, and we don't have the technologies to find it, in fact. Number two, once you get these test results, they're clues. And as far as antibodies, especially IgGs, they only mean exposure. They don't mean you've got an active infection. If the IgMs are up, we can make a stronger case. When you have, or your MD or whoever suspects Lyme, which is very, very tricky, but I don't want to focus on Lyme or Epstein-Barr or Hep C or Giardia or amoeba or chlamydia, syndrome X. I don't want to focus on anything. Because fundamentally, this show applies so that any infection applies to this show. So point, the IgMs, the IgGs, you got to be careful with the IgGs because everyone's exposed at one time. That's another biting principle. Now go to the website and look at number 7, picture number 7. Go to picture number 7. Picture number 7, that's a picture of an antibody. And you see where it says variable region? That's where God does his genetic engineering for you. The variable region. And that Y-shaped antibody produced by, now go to picture number 10. There you have it, picture number 10. The B lymphocyte. B lymphocytes are stimulated by T helper cells. Let's give you a picture of that. Go to picture 15. Got to do the pictures. With the immune system, you must do the pictures. So I'll keep the pace slow for you. There's the B cell, picture 15. It's looking at the... It's getting help, that is, by the helper T cell. And it's going to produce an antibody. That antibody's got that Y shape. Now let's go on to the electron microscope. Actually, I didn't put one of those on, but go to picture number, go to picture 8. Now there, picture 8. Illustration showing characteristic Y-shaped antibodies in purple going after an allergen in green. The allergen in green, that's the microbe. And the antibodies that are Y-shaped attach to the microbe. Now, why do those antibodies attach? Because they've been genetically engineered by God, by the B cell, with the help of the T cell. They've been genetically engineered to fit into receptor sites right on the microbe that it wants to kill. That's the way it works. So if you're producing antibodies, well, why? Because there must be something those antibodies are going after. Thus, all this emphasis on the antibody tests. And those antibodies, now shift to picture 7. Those antibodies are genetically engineered to the bug. I think that's marvelous. That's exciting. We do our own genetic engineering. We're going to get to solutions later, solutions for infections, solutions for chronic undiagnosed infections that you don't even know are infections, but you think they're infections. And then finally, everyone throws up their hands and says, this is a new kind of infection that we can't test for, but we know there's an infection. And because you have a Pasteurian mentality, because you want to kill the infection, because you go and spend your healthcare money on people who are going to tell you, we'll find it, isolate it, and kill it, because you think that, you're in a bad place now because they can't even isolate it. So they don't even know what to kill. When in fact you have an immune system that knows what to do. But we won't talk about stimulating that. We won't talk about priming that. We won't talk about how to make that optimal. Well, we will on this show. It's the longer, slower way to go sometimes. Yeah, kill it if you can. Use the antibiotics if you can. Vaccines, different story. We'll get to that eventually. We're accumulating data. We'll do a vaccine show, and we'll show both sides. There's always two sides to the story. We don't want to dismiss vaccinations and vaccines quite yet. But we do want to look at the myriad of garbage that's being accumulated and being forced down the public's throat unnecessarily. And delusionally, meaning you're not getting the full picture. You got to remember, an antibiotic was really just a fungus in a petri dish. Antibiotics are born out of nature, and so are vaccines. Now, to take the cue from nature and twist it into something serpentine, well, that's the problem. But to dismiss the essence is also stupid. So we'll get to vaccines on another day. Right now, what I want to point out to you, and this is going to be critical later, is that the variable region of the antibody, that's picture number 7, is where the genetic engineering is done. Within limitations sometime, thus the problem, but The antibody is genetically engineered by the divine, by the human intelligence, by the biological intelligence of the body to knock out the microbe. So we're already doing that. So testing for infections, why are you wasting your time? Well, you want to do the antibody test, but you have to keep a perspective on it. Now, a dozen years ago, Kerry Mulis got the Nobel Prize for PCR testing. Go to picture number two. PCR testing. These are the tests and why you are wasting your time. Although you should test anyway, just in case you're not wasting your time. But this show addressed the myriad of people who get tested and are told nothing's wrong. If that's you, especially, this is a show for you. The PCR test amplifies the DNA of the spirochete. So in this case, they're looking at Lyme, but it could be anything. Hep C, it doesn't matter. You can PCR just about anything. It is used for people who may have chronic Lyme arthritis. Why? Again, you don't have Lyme, doesn't matter. Listen to this. People who may have chronic Lyme arthritis. Why do we say chronic? Because acute will show up in the IgMs. In the acute phase, often, you'll be able to find the infection. Acute phase infection is where our world works. Acute phase of everything is where we work. You don't really take care of things until there's 1 minute left. That's the way we all live. We run late. That isn't good, but that's the reality for many, many people. Acute phase. We have a serious crisis. Then we'll do something about it. So medicine revolves around the acute diagnostic, acute therapeutic procedure. Chronic is a different story. Chronic is the insidious devil. Because chronic is just what siphons off your life force for a period of many decades. And then you're 60 and you say, where did it all go? How much energy you can lose to a chronic infection over the years is why you have to understand what I'm talking about today and what to do about it. So the PCR test, picture two, is used for people who have chronic arthritis or persistent infection, which is chronic, in the cerebrospinal fluid of people with nervous system symptoms. It simply means Lyme, in this case, can go to the nervous system, meaning you might find it in the what? Cerebrospinal fluid. The point is, any chronic disease that you can't find through antibody tests, that you can't isolate as a whole in serology tests, test it, look for it in the blood. A leg of it, an arm of it, a face of it, a head of it, an organ of it. Metaphorically speaking, of course. Lyme doesn't have an organ. But the point is, pieces of it to be found, chunks of it to be found, like a puzzle, in the urine, in the feces, in the cerebral spinal fluid. And if we could take your organs out, put them in a blender, siphon off everything, and then stuff your organ back in, we'd look for it that way too, but we can't do it. That's the problem. So what do we look for? It's genetic excrement. PCR testing is another level of testing. We look for it in its genetic excrement. So if the animal dies and its organ disintegrates and the cells disintegrate, and that means the membrane of the cell disintegrates and the cytoplasm disintegrates and everything disintegrates and there's just the strands of DNA, which the virus, which the bacteria, which the parasite, which the infection will have. It will have a genetic code. It will have a sequence of nucleotides. Look for those. And if you see a sequence that doesn't match the sequence, if you see a sequence that matches the sequence of the organism you're looking for, well, then you can make a case. But look what it says. This test does produce many false negatives. What does that mean? It means you can still have Lyme, but the PCR is negative. Once again, you're up the creek. You can't find it. You can't test for it. And then once we rattle the world with PCR testing, even that may say it's not there when it's really there. Microbes are smart. And they're saying this test does not produce, this test does produce many false negatives. This is because Lyme bacteria are sparse and may not be in this sample tested. Yes, indeed. Lyme hides in the cell. Yes, it does. Bugs go intracellularly. Tough to find intracellularly. So you feel like the living dead. You've got all sorts of discharges from your body. Your organs are inflamed. You've got all these inflammatory markers. Your CRP is up. Your homocysteine is up. Your sed rate. And a few other things. And it points to an inflammatory situation. You've got the symptoms. You went on that trip to Machu Picchu in Peru. Or you went to Indonesia. You were sick with something. But no one can find it anymore. Because it found a place to hide. All right, if you got that, you got everything. So they're hiding. So PCR fails you. So serology blood tests fail you. So antibody tests fail you. And because the mentality is, we've got to find it, isolate it, tell you exactly what it is, and then send a nuke in to kill it. You're in your fourth or fifth decade looking for something, and your life has been expunged. And I see this. I'm doing this show because this is what I see in my office. I see this all the time. And a lot of these people are so exhausted, so drained, so fatigued, and just so out of sorts that, you know, they're in God's hands as far as I'm concerned. It's a very tough person that digs themselves out of a chronic, infectious sort of a problem that's drained their life force. You have to have the guts of Moses. This show wants to give you a perspective so that you can put your seatbelt on and stick it out through the long ride. So it's a voice of optimism here you're hearing on the other end of the mic. But nonetheless, I caution you. Get away from the Pasteurian model. Now we'll go down to picture number 19. That's Pasteur. Pasteur, the father of modern microbiology. I mean, his contribution was enormous. But his basic premise was find it and kill it. And he was good at it. That doesn't always work, and this is the point. You can't find it and kill it. We had a colleague of his. Now go to picture number 22. Go to picture 22. Ilya Mechnikov, who took the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1908, a learned man, worked with immunity, a learned man, an equal of Pasteur. Contemporary. Pasteur had a head start. Pasteur's contribution to the commercial market was greater. He cured the sheep from dying from anthrax. That made him a king. Rabies. Pasteurization of milk. So Mechnikov didn't get the press. It goes that way in science. Mechnikov didn't get the press, but Mechnikov had an equal place in microbiology. And Mechnikov's message was, change the terrain. So really, you out there, swimming around in infectious disease land without a diagnosis. If you got nothing from the show today, what you should get is Mechnikov's advice to you. Change your terrain. You know what that means? Get healthy. I have 210 shows now. It's 210 hours. I have people all over the world who do nothing but listen to the shows. And then I get these emails. You don't get them every day, but you get them. Dear Dr. Medici, the show, I listen. I learn. It changed my life. I'm healthy. Healthier. I'm on my way. I've got something to connect to. Infectious disease asks you, if it's chronic, to get healthy. But your mind is going to trip you up. Your mind and the current Pasteurian perspective on infectious disease is kill it. And while the decades go on, and while time waits for no one, we don't find that infection. And you're looking for it so you can find it and kill it. And you're depressed because we can't find it and kill it. And to the left of you is another Nobel laureate saying, just change the terrain, which means get healthy. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The website, straighttalk.cc. If you're lost in limbo with your health, give us a call here, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're ready to work, you'll be delivered. That's the beauty of it. You've got to have perspective. Here's the perspective. So Metchnikov was there giving us advice, get healthy. What does that mean? Well, we're going to put some concepts together in a moment. You can't go on right now without mentioning the biofilm. You've heard me talk about the biofilm. You can't go on here without talking about stimulating the immune system. When we talk about what you do regarding infectious disease, undiagnosed but nonetheless present and destructive, we have to talk about the biofilm. So go to picture number 17. Picture number 17. Great picture. The formation of a biofilm. What's a biofilm? It's where the infections hide. That's where they hide, these mucopolysaccharide sacs. These mucopolysaccharide sacs of infectious disease. Take a look at that picture. The formation of a biofilm. Bacteria fasten, they're saying, to a metal surface. Replace that. Somewhere in your organ system, in between your cells. Bacteria fasten onto a variety of surfaces, not just metal, using special tail-like structures. This can occur in pipes and water fibers, in the human intestine, and in implants such as heart valves. Reality is it can occur anywhere it wants. It's kind of that simple. These cells, meaning these infectious disease bacterial cells, grow and divide, forming a dense mat. They're calling it a mat, many layers thick. That mat is the biofilm. The bacteria communicate with each other using specific signals. Maturation. When there are enough bacteria in the developing biofilm, the microbes secrete a sugary glue and form a mushroom-shaped structure that looks like a futuristic city. Slime. The glue protects the bacteria in the biofilm from the harsh environment outside, shielding them from antibiotics, your immune system, and toxic chemicals that will otherwise kill it. Look at that. Just on that basis alone, look at that. Look at the genius of the microbial world for openers. The other thing is the infection's going to swap its own genes. The infections mutate. We've seen this with Lyme. The Lyme you're talking about today is not the Lyme of 10 years ago, of 20 years ago. The more you mess with it, the more it swaps its genes. And if it's not swapping its genes, it's connecting itself into these mucopolysaccharide sacs that resist antibiotics, that resist the herbs. Did you hear me? Resists the herbs. Don't think you throw the herb in and life changes. That is not true. When you have chronic disease and someone tells you we'll throw a heap load of herbs at it because it's better than them, there are antibiotics, often they're wrong. Now, I'm an herbalist, but I'm telling you, they're wrong. It doesn't work. Because the biofilm doesn't let the herb in any more than it lets the antibiotic in. It doesn't mean you can't heal holistically. In fact, you must heal holistically. You must heal naturopathically. Modern science, look, even if they fix it someday, which they haven't, they'll produce 10 new problems in the process. Really, it's a losing proposition. Really, it would be great if we understood how to combine therapies. But that's another program. So, the biofilm protects the organism and nothing gets in. And even if you could get your drug or your herb, the microbe keeps swapping genes. It keeps mutating. So these things are smart. So, it's worthy to note, along came a man. And his name was Royal Rife, R-I-F-E, Royal Rife. And Rife delivered a rather intelligent perception on how to approach the whole issue of microbes. Rife said, forget about the chemical model. Simply hit it with a ray, a vibration. Now, you see, the minute you say ray or vibration, you invite lunatics into the conversation. And this is the problem. You got to understand where science came from. You have to be reminded of where science came from. Science came from a bunch of lunatics saying to Kepler, to Galileo, to Da Vinci, to Giordano Bruno, science and the upgrade in science during the Renaissance came from a bunch of lunatics saying, despite your findings, despite strong evidence, rational, objective, reproducible evidence, the Earth is the center of the solar system. You, Galileo Galileo, you may abide that the sun is the center. You executed and amputated Giordano Bruno. Might concede, might say that the Earth is not the center, that the sun is the center. You agree with Galileo. You may say that, but we say otherwise. And what we say rules. And the current orthodoxy of the day wanted the world to think that the Earth was the center of the solar system, just like they wanted Columbus to say that the Earth was flat. So this type of mentality has lived since man has lived. And science was born to the material plane. It said, look, you can have your ethereal attitude. At one time, that was linked with God. This is the Vatican that are making these arguments for political reasons, but nonetheless, in the name of an energetic, esoteric, energetic position. Certainly God would not create a universe and put the sun, not the Earth, at the center of the solar system. Got to understand the bias here. And what this has produced today, I'm talking 1900 when Royal Rife created his machine, when Tesla had his day. You have to understand that the minute you start talking about hit a microbe, not with an antibiotic, but with a ray, hit it with a frequency and an opposing wavelength and burst it in the body. That in fact, when Rife actually created a machine supporting this notion, he was condemned and considered crazy and left and right. And, well, he doesn't have a pleasant story. He didn't have a good life. Now look at this, picture 21. Take a look at picture 21. Look at that picture. The Evening Tribune. Can we get a year on that? If we blow it up, I think that's 1938. I think that's 1938. Evening Tribune, out of San Diego. Dread disease germs destroyed by rays, claim of San Diego scientist. Cancer blows seen after an 18-year-old toil by Royal Rife. Thus the beginning of the Rife machine. Rife's claim was that his machine could cure infectious disease by first tabulating the frequency of the microbe hiding in the biofilm. That's right. The microbe evading the immune system. The microbe doing what microbes do to elude detection and to keep you sick. And Rife had this thing about the virus, and that the virus was at the root of cancer. Well, whether it's a virus or some other form of aberrant DNA combination, however you look at it, Rife had results. Yes, he did. And Rife was respected. Look at picture 23. Picture 23. There he is. The world's most powerful microscope. Dr. Royal Rife, San Diego, standing beside his microscope he has just invented. These were kind of the days when you could invent something without having to give your genius to a political corporate system. You could do it out of your garage. Steve Jobs and his partner started in their garage. Perhaps we can still do that today. Less so. This isn't the best breeding ground for creative thought. But Rife lived in a day when it was easier, as did Tesla. And he invented this microscope that could see infections. And then he invented a machine, and that's picture number 24, the Rife story. Take a moment, read that. Take the time to do that. The Royal Rife story. Perhaps one of the most brilliant and persistent scientists. The Timken family of Timken roller bearings recognized his and privately built and financed his labs. That's where you go. You go to the speculators. He spent years of his life developing the world's most powerful optical microscopes, which allowed him to observe living viruses. That was the beginning of the Rife machine. Now, Tesla was doing this at the same time. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the first shifts away from the biochemical model. So we can call infection these little things that wave at you, and if you can find them in the blood, if you can find them in the urine, if you can find them in the cerebral spinal fluid, you can kill them. And that's taking us to second base. But after second base, you're cooked. Then you've got to look for them where they don't, you've got to look for them where you can't find them. You've got to look for them in the lymph. You've got to look for them in the cell. You've got to look for them in the cells between the organs. Then you've got to look for them in biofilms. And all of these things fight you. And this has been the limitation of Pasteurian infectious disease medicine, to which then you have to understand that you have to change the terrain. And this was someone, a contemporary of Pasteur, Metchnikov, saying change the terrain, which means get healthy. But you have to understand that when you're changing the terrain, you're changing your frequencies. This is the point. When someone says get healthy, you have to understand it's about changing your frequency. And that superseding this produced the Rife machine. Tesla and Rife had a model that was biophysical. Biophysical, picture 26. Go to picture 26, Tesla. The day science begins to study the non-physical phenomenon. This is Tesla. This is the preeminent scientist of the world. There's Newton, there's Tesla. That's it. That's it. No one's come close. Newton and Tesla. Those are the two greatest minds in the last 1,000 years. Einstein would tell you that Tesla could have fit him into his pinky. He did. If you study these guys, Tesla's work, no one has words to really, really accurately describe the breadth and depth of this man's work. The day science begins to study the non-physical phenomenon, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. And this is the point, and this is what Rife was going to. Now, what does this mean to you sitting there at your couch, barely able to find the energy to go to the stores today to shop because you've been plagued? Or what does it mean to you when you've had these funny discharges? What does it mean to you? It means you've got to understand that health, as you change your health, as you improve your health, as you do all the exercises of health, it's to change a frequency in your body. And you can feel that. So this is not esoteric jargon. When you feel better, when you feel lighter, when your thoughts become better and you feed that, when your body becomes weightless, when your body starts to feel like light, even in little ways, like you can stand up for an extra 10 minutes a day, like you can sleep an extra hour, like there's a little bit of pleasure in your day, no matter where you are in the pendulum of health, you're moving towards the light, towards a visceral, experiential, towards a living within your experience of health. So, if you have a chronic illness, get vibrational. If you have a chronic disease, understand that what's in your way, or what asks you, or what obliges you in the name of healing your illness, is to get healthy. All right, so let's change what your infectious disease appointment at Kaiser then should sound like. What it should sound like is, we can't find the infection in the blood, we can't find it in the urine, we can't find it in the CSF. The antibody tests are questionable. PCR has been negative, but Mrs. Smith, it's hiding in your lymph, or it's hiding in your cell, or it's hiding in biofilms because it's chronic, and it's smart. And what you've got to do, Mrs. Smith, is change the terrain, and this is a process. What do you do to change your terrain? Well, that's like saying, what do you do for your health? What do you do to change your terrain? All that might mean resolve your marriage. It might mean switch your job. It might mean move to another country. It might mean move to another city. It might mean find God. I don't want to get esoteric here. You're going to have to understand that the change in your health, what you do for your health, is specific to you. But it's all the same stuff. What stuff? What would you do for a chronic infection? The first thing you'd ask yourself is, are you sleeping? If you can't sleep, you can't heal a chronic infection, because your reserve in the form of your hormonal system, adrenaline and cortisol, testosterone and estrogen, et al., all of these hormones are reserve energy which you're going to need to repair. Infections kill cells. Infections eat food. Infections eat the food you eat. Infections live off the nutrition that you give yourself. Infections aren't stupid. Infections want what your cells want. And so the game with diet becomes, how do we feed the body more than we feed the infection? Not how do we kill the infection, how do we feed the body in a way that the body wants more of what we feed it and the infection wants less of what we feed it. So in the balance of trade, the body gets stronger and the infection gets weaker. But don't forget about your sleep. How do we stimulate an immune system? If I were you and I had an infection, a chronic, dangerous infection, I'd be sleeping in the woods. Preposterous. Absurd. The hospitals of America would never concede such an insane statement. What would it take to go to the woods and build a shack? What would it take to go to a campsite and put up a tent? What would it take? What would it mean to actually take a little reserve cash, far less than the rent you pay or the mortgage you pay, and go out into fertile, pristine environments with a tent? It would just take a little imagination. It would take some understanding. It would take an understanding that says that if you want to break a biofilm, you better get vibrational. What would it take to build that in the backyard? What would it take to rent a house made of wood and stone rather than steel and high-heated concrete? What would it take to understand that an apartment next to an oil refinery is not a great place to heal a chronic infection? What does that have to do with a chronic infection, you might say? You see my point. You have to think deep here. You have to understand that it's not about finding the infection. How many people do you think right now live in Long Beach, live in Redondo Beach, live in Torrance, live in Carson? How many people do you think, not to single those areas out, throughout the world, throughout the United States, that live in filthy, toxic, dump site environments that should be banned in a better world and suffer from chronic infection and spend their time, their energy, and their money dumping from one infectious disease place to another or from one holistic place to another when they ought to be living in nature? You can't live in nature. I know there's no nature left. We need more reasonable solutions here. Something that would allow us to heal and live next to the Long Beach port. Forget it. Forget it. If I go anywhere, I will get more radical about these statements because I do not see, statistically speaking, the proofs coming in from anybody unless people make real change. So, you want to destroy the biofilm. You want to upregulate the terrain. You want to build the adrenal reserve. You want to put your body in the right electromagnetic field. You want to use herbs. Yes, you do. To do what? Well, to stimulate the immune system. Cat's Claw, Poduarco. I could go on for hours. I'm not going to. Look it up on internet yourself and find a good source. Yes, that special herbal cocktail of those immune-stimulating herbs specific to you based on wonderful, magnificent forms of testing will render your infection senseless and paralyzed in the face of this herbal concoction divined from God. Sorry, that's 10% of it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying you've got 10% of it. Herbs immunostimulate, the mushrooms particularly, all of them, hyssop, cat's claw, reishi, maitake, shiitake, hericium, you name it. Poduarco, we've got tons of immunostimulators, and they work in different ways, and it's all wonderful. But that's a percentage of it. Don't substitute that for a good night's sleep. Don't substitute that for putting your head on a pillow on the earth itself. Don't substitute that for positive thoughts. Don't substitute that from understanding. You're not going to kill it. You're going to embargo it out. Don't substitute that for diet. You get my point. Most of all, autonomic balance. Autonomic balance. Hans Selye, the stress of life. If you don't unwind your body, see my polar bear show, the show where I put the polar bear on about 4, 5, 6 shows ago. See the polar bear show. Look at that baby shaking itself out there. The spinal wave. Unwind your stress. Train your body to the point where the nervous system can shake out its stress with an efficacy that an animal would respect. A dog, a cat, a polar bear, all of nature. People do this. They really do. It's 5 or 6 shows. Something about physiological phenomenon. Incredible physiological phenomenon. Look up that show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. If you want health given to you, delivered straight, please get to the show, straighttalk.cc. Listen to it on the archives. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Get up off your duff. There's a way for you to heal. But you got to put some time in now and think outside the box. What about anemia? Anemia. People can live in borderline anemic states. while spending decades trying to cure chronic infection. And nobody ever points out that that hemoglobin at 11 needs to come up to 13. Anemia means no oxygen. No oxygen means a terrain that's going to grow a lot of things that you don't want. Blood sugar. Think of this, really. Just stop the clock. Calm it down. And think of this. Going to Kaiser Permanente with a chronic infectious disease and having someone say, if you don't lower your blood sugar, you'll never heal that disease. Think of that. Put it together. That's where it's exciting. But this is exactly what I'm saying. How are you going to cure it without sleep, or without being able to unwind, or with anemia, or with a diet that produces toxic mucus, or with the blood sugar being high? How are you going to cure it unless the bile flows? The terrain that you're trying to shift, so the infection bursts out of its biofilm. The dissolution of the biofilm is as tied into bile flow as it is to sleep, as it is to sleeping on the earth, as it is to building the probiotics up in your gut, as it is to thinking good thoughts, as it is to unwinding. You see? Does that turn you on? It turns me on. Pasteur could have said that. He could have said that. He decided to say, find it and kill it. That had its place. Sometimes you got to kill things. Sometimes you got to kill things directly. When my clients get Lyme disease, the first thing I tell them to do is go to an infectious disease guy that knows how to use antibiotics and blitzkrieg it fast. Don't wait. If they dare come to see me, I send them running to an infectious disease guy and say, make sure he knows how to blitzkrieg it with the best antibiotics. Because if you can get Lyme in the acute stage before it gets smart, before it mutates, before it hides in the cell, before it goes to all these places that's going over 10, 20, 30 years to ruin your life, kill it. Kill it. It's a beast. Yeah. Drugs are good. When you're suicidal, antidepressants are good. So everything has its place. But you have to know where to point the gun. You have to know when to pull the trigger. You have to know what ammunition to use. So there's an integration here, thus my point with the show. So pat yourself on the back if you've survived the last 50 minutes. This is not about buy an herb because it's going to kill your disease or stimulate your immune system to a higher level. This is a show about understand the full perspective and then bring that herb in to whack it, because that's how you can really learn to use an herb. If you're using an herb to open the bile flow, to reduce the blood sugar, if you're using antioxidants to quell the free radical damage that all these bugs are going to give you. When we do free radical profiles on people with chronic disease, it's horrendous. You bet. When you feel like you can't stand up and go to the bathroom because you're so tired, you bet your cells are in a terrible condition. If you've got to take an iron supplement because you can't, for whatever reason, get the iron in, well, there you go. There's a place for herbal medicine, but it's the correct place. Last but not least, first really, or second, the structural issue, the interference field. Great, oh, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago, a woman comes in. She's from South America. She's an engineer. She's working in another country, and she starts getting a bad discharge from the vaginal canal. She feels sick. She has a fever. The discharge was green. It was a green discharge from the vaginal canal. She's sick. She has a fever. She goes to the best doctors that she can find in South America. And she went to good doctors. They can't find anything. Comes to America. They can't find anything. Feels better. She feels better months later. Can't find anything. You see this all the time. Turns out this woman has had 3 or 4 surgeries. Turns out this woman has had the episiotomy, bad tear. Turns out she's broken her left foot. Turns out she's got metal in the body. Turns out she's had 4 to 5 to 6 whiplashes. She's a bundle of scars. Can you imagine that? So let's put it together. Infection. Surely an infection. Green discharge from the vagina. Itching, pain, nausea, vomiting, fever. Can't find it. Months pass. Feeling a little better. But not quite right. Goes to the doctor. Can you imagine the doctor saying, the fascial web enveloping your body, Mrs. Smith, the fascial web has been twisted and torqued and pulled. Your intestines are so matted down with scar tissue from the surgeries that it's pulled your uterus, it's pulled your bladder, it's pulled your vaginal canal into a contortion. And that's creating a place for infection to grow. And the original infection, or the infections that came in, found a breeding ground that's hit critical mass. So combined with your sleep loss, combined with your divorce, combined with working in another country, combined with all sorts of stresses, and then you're 60 years old, everything's added up, and now these infections have come to roost, and they're hiding. Now look at that. That's the better world painted by me. But that is the reality. If that's your reality, fibrin cleanses, gallbladder flushes, fix your sleep, fix your anemia, fix the fascial adhesions, lower your blood sugar, get the bile flowing, get healthy. All 210 shows, 714-850-1007 if you need deeper inquiry into that. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.